Welcome to Entrepreneur Clinic with me, Monique Chambers, and every week I'll be interviewing a special guest talking about how to set up a business or how to launch a new product in the local market. You're listening to Entrepreneur Clinic on Campus FM with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week, Nathan Faruja of Ultimate Performance, discussing motivation. So Nathan, are we born motivated or can it be trained?
This is the age-old question of nature versus nurture. I think that the environment we brought up in is probably the lead towards us being motivated or not. So the way we are raised will probably have a more impact than our innate genetics. So I think that motivation, yes, can be something that you can teach.
You can teach. So how do you motivate yourself? Were you born in an environment where you were very motivated as well, or how do you actually motivate yourself every day?
Well, when I was 4 years old, I was diagnosed with severe asthma. And for me, the motivation to be out there playing with my friends and climbing trees was such that it was an obstacle, because I wasn't supposed to do those things, being a child who with exercise would trigger an asthmatic attack. So therefore, I really had to find ways to motivate myself to do uncomfortable things. And when you become comfortable being uncomfortable, then less things daunt you. Your comfort zone grows and you take things more proactively. And in a sense, that does lead to motivation, because you realize that you can do things that most people might think you couldn't or you shouldn't.
So obviously you're known, and we're not going to go into that, but you're known for extreme sports. You've overcome your asthma now?
Yes.
Yes,
absolutely. And this is also thanks to my parents, who pretty much signed me up for every sport under the sun to try and cure my asthma rather than follow the medical advice, which was stay away from sports. So they flipped it on its head. But I think going back into the motivation aspect, for me it was the purpose that really was the motivator. I wanted to be out there like every other kid playing with my friends. That motivation, that purpose, was what drove me through that discomfort.
And what motivates you today then? So still playing with your friends and climbing trees? Or with my kids
rather than my friends. But I think fundamentally it's the same. It's purpose. Once you figure out what your purpose is and the goals that you set in order to achieve that purpose, then you have a sight of where you need to be going. And that is motivating in itself. If you don't have a goal, I mean, if you look at, you know, Lewis Carroll, if you don't have a goal, any road will get you there. So therefore, there's no necessarily a need for motivation. So I think purpose is critical. For me, it's making a difference. It's looking at how I can contribute, the impact I can make. And that's in a wider sphere. So impact could be with my family. It could be with my employees. It could be to society in general.
And so as a startup, as an entrepreneur, trying to motivate themselves every day, are there any sort of tricks, any guidelines you can give us to help people in those sort of tough times of starting up a business where things aren't always very smooth? How can people keep sight of their goal? How can they stay motivated?
I came up with this idea of, reflecting back at my life history. I went from being a freelancer, a self-employed person, to going into jobs, then into management and leadership, and now back into self-employment and startups. And the journey has taught me a lot, aside also from the adventures that I've done. And I really sort of look at this acronym of FIRE, light your fire. Mm-hmm. And those four things for me are: seek to do things that fulfill you, mm-hmm. seek to make an impact, mm-hmm. Look at yourself in a role that you are portraying. So whether you are a startup, whether you are a parent, whether you are a husband, so in that role, and be virtuous in that role, be as good as you can be as a boss, as a parent, as a husband, and then seek excellence. And excellence is all about being better tomorrow than you are today at that particular one thing that you're good at. So it's really about fine-tuning the skill and the art, really understanding what you're good at and playing to your strengths. Most often people try and fill up their weaknesses. They focus on, they do a SWOT analysis and they look, this is where we're weak. My idea is focus on strengths and turn strengths into super strengths, because that's your USP. So, don't try and be everything to everyone. Just really focus on what you're good at and make that what you're good at excellent.
And is that something again within a sort of startup environment to motivate your team? You would try to do the same thing? You'd like to set them on fire?
Yes, because the idea is that the more layers you have, if you look at those four things as situations, you can layer them on top of each other. So, for example, if I'm designing a startup and I want to enthuse my crew, I want them to be clear of what they're going to get out of it, so how it's going to fulfill them, mm-hmm. what they need to do to become excellent, or how they can go through this process and at the end of it become excellent, because that's going to serve them in any case, even if they leave the startup, that their role is defined, they know exactly what they're supposed to be doing, so they have, for want of a better word, a job description, but that really suits them, mm-hmm. and they feel empowered to live that. And that ultimately the startup is going to make a difference. It has a purpose. And I think, again, this underpinning purpose, the why, you know, Simon Sinek in why we do things is also all powerful, especially in tough times. So when you start losing sight of the why, that's when things seem to be falling apart. You know, they can't understand what's going on. If as the leader, you really need to wave that flag of this is why we're going through this pain. And if you can do that and keep that vision up there, then people will stay engaged.
Is there an easy way for companies to do that? Is there something like is it a visual key?
Well, I sort of put this together as a visual map, which I use with when I'm coaching CEOs. And it works, it's handy, because it sort of gives people a bit of perspective of the different aspects of it. Because what happens is when you're stuck in a rut, when you can't see the wood for trees, you just worry about one particular thing that you're facing at the moment. If you step back and take a helicopter view of things and you start looking at the different perspectives of why you're in that business and why you chose to do this, and you see where you need to do more to be excellent or where you need to do more to have impact, then the meaning starts to come back.
Okay.
So it you do need to take a deep breath and step back sometimes and take a vantage point.
So you advise your clients then to have something like on the wall, stuck on the wall, or is this something...
Well, it depends on what suits them. Some people are very visual, so they like to have that. You know, they'll doodle in meetings and they'll write stuff down or draw. Other people prefer maybe a more wordy approach, like a project document or a vision statement or something that's inspiring in that sense. Others are great at sparking imagination, so sometimes it's just the way that they see things in their head. But the danger there is how you're going to translate it for people to understand.
Okay. So... Are there any simple exercises then that we can pass on? So if you're facing a really mundane task, you know, something's not going well, but you have to face up to doing whatever it is, the filing or the accounts or the chasing of the money. Mm-hmm. How can you motivate? Is there a simple way of getting over that hurdle to make sure that that task is achieved so that you aren't facing a brick wall of fear every time it comes around? Is there something really simple that we can all carry around in our heads? And
yes, well, there's two things I do. One is I use mindfulness. So mm-hmm. mindfulness is a tool that allows you to recalibrate your mindset. So okay. If I've gone off track, I'm upset or anxious or frustrated, mindfulness brings you back into yourself.
But what do you mean by mindfulness?
Mindfulness is a little bit like meditation, but it can be done walking, or it can be done outdoors. It's not sitting in a yoga class. It can be done whatever, and it's about pressing the control alt delete of your brain so that you reset and find your feet again. And it can be done through breathing techniques. There's different ways of doing this. There's plenty on the web on how to do that, YouTube videos, etc. The other aspect is the critical understanding that any emotion, anxiety, frustration, etc., is all in our heads. So, you know, the accounts, the mundane task, whatever that is there as a state of fact. It's our interpretation of it as being mundane or creating anxiety that causes the problem. So once we understand that the neurophysiology in our heads is what's getting in the way, then we can look at the task as what it really is, rather than as something that's frustrating.
Going to reprogram yourself, essentially, to
yes.
address it.
And that's what I do with a lot of people when I'm coaching. It's giving them a different perspective of what may be blocking them to achieve.
And how do you go about doing that?
Firstly, it's understanding where they're coming from. Everybody sees the world through their own lens. So we may be both in this room, but we will both describe it very differently. And once I understand where that person's coming from, then I can get into their shoes and understand why they're blocked. And then it's really on trying to find ways to unlock that and give different perspectives.
And when it comes to a tougher situation, so not necessarily a mundane task, would you address it in the same way?
Even more so, because the more involved you are, the more hijacked you get. So therefore, if it is a very emotional issue or a very, very fearful issue, then the depth that you are in that and the consequence of it makes it much more difficult to get out of it. So it's a bit like, you know, the drowning man clutching a straw. You know what I mean? You're just going to hold on to it because that's what you've got. Mm. So taking a step back, taking a deep breath, being mindful of how your emotions have taken over your logic is the first step. And then it's looking at options.
Okay. And so if we talk about the drowning man or a really, really tough situation that the company's facing, would you share that with your team, or would that affect motivation? How do you address that? Because they're going to notice you stressed. Mm. At a point in time, do you share the love or the fear?
I think people have different styles in how they lead. My style would be full disclosure. I think that people who have decided to follow you should know the environment that they are in, the risks that they are undertaking with you. But I also think that when you disclose the fears that you have, it needs to be done in a way that is objective. So if you are going to offload all your emotions and frustrations and anxiety and fear onto them, then you're just going to transpose the problem onto them. Whereas if you are able to step back first and then go to them with a matter of fact, look, this is the situation, these are our options, let's discuss what you think. Maybe you have some ideas that I can't see because I can't see the wood for trees at the moment. And therefore that disclosure can actually facilitate finding solutions. But if they're going to be hijacked by your own, fear, if you're just going to dump that onto them, they're going to be as stuck as you.
That's it. Because always, you know, you wonder if it means people are just going to jump ship because they see it sinking and they don't want to be the drowning man, or if they are going to be on your side and.
Well, I think ultimately, if you look at the long-term prognosis of this, what you want is the people that really matter to stick around. So if they do stick around, then you know they're in for it for the long haul. And that's ultimately who you want. So in itself, a situation like this will actually determine who is really in it through thick and thin, who's going to follow you, rather than the people who are there for the comfortable ride. But as soon as it gets rough, they're going to jump ship, as you say.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Entrepreneur Clinic on Campus FM with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week, Nathan Farrugia from Ultimate Performance. We're discussing motivation. So, goals, how do you keep them in mind and how do you define your strategies?
Okay, well, I think there's a bit of a chicken and egg. A lot of people develop their strategies by first determining the goal. They put a long-term goal right in front and say, okay, so what's the strategy to get there? I think that with this day and age and the way that markets change and the haphazard nature of economics, it's very, very difficult to set goals that will be there in a sustained way. So the way I try and describe it, and the analogy is, if you're steering a ship, which is your business or your startup, if you're always at the front of your ship looking for land, sometimes you forget how to steer that ship. And sometimes you need to just sit at the back and take care of the rudder and make sure that you don't go too far left and too far right. And that's really understanding why you're in that boat, what it's there for, what are your values, how far left or right would you steer without going too far out of your values or your sense of direction, and eventually you'll hit land. So, you know, yes, it's true, stick your head up and look across, but really focus on the rudder and the direction, I think, particularly at startup, where goals may be a bit too airy-fairy.
But what if you've got a goal that, you know, may come out on of a whim initially, and it just seems gigantic. You've started this business, you've started hiring staff, you know, people aren't paying or people aren't playing ball, and it just seems too big. How do you get over these impossible hurdles? How do you attack those?
Okay, maybe an analogy from the challenges I've done. When I was doing the Ultraman last year, one of the, besides the run and the cycle, I had to swim the Bonifacio Straits. Now, when you jump in the sea, it's pretty rough, and you can't see land. So it looks like you're just swimming out into the open,
mm-hmm.
and that can be very daunting. So the analogy is, if the goal is too far away, or it's not structured yet, you can't really define it, then you just need to focus on putting one arm over the other and paddling away. What happens is that every now and then you stick your head up and you start to get an understanding of where land is, in this case, in this metaphor. And that then becomes motivating. So you're like, okay, it's getting closer, keep pedaling. So if you are in a situation where you can't see land, really focus on the journey, focus on the process, focus on doing things right, focus on this mix that we talked about earlier of having things on a daily basis that fulfill you, that drive you towards excellence, that talk about your virtue and your values. And if you really stay focused on those things, then the goals will come, I believe. The problem if you don't is that you might take a side road just because and not know that you're lost, and that then becomes a problem.
Okay, so I'm just imagining you swimming and cycling these straits and wondering what would have been going through your mind at that point in time. You're paddling away, you're trying to get towards your goal, but you just have block. There's a wall there. How do you get over it? What can you tell yourself? What can you?
Yeah. Well, when the problem seems so big, there's two things that happen. One is the actual brain system that we have, which is neurochemicals. This is stuff happening inside your head. And this is really about the flight or fright response that is really deep in our lizard brain. It's our self-preservation. So what happens with fright or flight is that you end up not making logical decisions, but making decisions that are really about self-preservation. So if you're trying to run a business based on that fight or flight approach, you are going to make knee-jerk reactions rather than long-term sustainable ones. So we really need to get out of that. And that is the only way you can do that, is to get out of your own head, get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to find ways to distance yourself from the problem, you know, take a time out, and then start to approach it from a different standpoint. The way I like to describe it is, if you put the problem in the middle of a room, you step outside the room and look at it from outside of the room through the window. That way it doesn't hurt you, it can't touch you, and you can be a bit more open to what the consequences might be, what the real situation is. There's great tools you can use, like, you know, the six thinking hats, De Bono, reframing a problem through Charles Handley. There's different ways and techniques you can use, which you can Google. But these, all they do really is get you to separate yourself from the problem so that you can see the wood for trees.
And is this where an organization like yours would come in, where you then help people to overcome these problems, to set their goals, achieve their goals, and motivate their teams to reach them?
Yes. What's interesting is that sometimes it just takes one meeting, one exploration, just to get people unstuck. So, you know, I like to talk as our role is to unlock potential. And sometimes it's just having that conversation and getting people to distance themselves from the problem, rather than firefight. Other times, we might need to take it further by actually being the ongoing strategic support. So we're helping lead the journey until we can let go and they can continue on their own. So it really depends on the amount of support that they need. But it's always, our client is always in control. So the idea is that we are there to get them back in control, back in the driving seat, and then they can see what they need.
So they're still steering the ship, you're just being the ballast, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Have you come across any examples where people should just throw in the towel? Is there a point that you can recognise where you just say, okay, give up, this person is not going to be motivated, or you are not the right person to be leading this business? Are there any signs of that people can maybe start to recognise within themselves or their teams that you can highlight?
Yes. Well, I think it's an interesting point. If you look at quite a number of failed startups happen because the person that sets it up is great at starting something but very bad at managing it or leading it.
I confess.
So it's all about, you know, getting the right people on board at the right time in the life cycle of that particular business. Richard Branson is a great one. He starts up businesses, but then he gets in their way. So he needs to move out and get people in who can manage the businesses. And that's a smart thing to do. So understanding your strengths and weaknesses and being self-aware is critical. The problem is that if you're so emotionally attached to it, then it's very, very difficult for you to actually realize that you need to step away. And sometimes with the enthusiasm or over-enthusiasm of being the owner and the startup and the person that created all of this, you don't recognize the fact that you're not necessarily the best person to continue taking that business forwards. So I think usually the biggest problem with the situation of failure is the lack of recognition that failure is happening, just by being dogged and saying, no, but we must make this work. We must make this work. This is how we have to do it. This is what we plan to do. And forget that circumstances change and sometimes you need to change direction.
So with your organization, Ultimate Performance, how can you help people? What do you actually you do when you go into these buildings and have the after these conversations? What do you mean by strategic help along the way?
Well, my job is really to simplify the issues. Most people who are stuck lose a little bit of perspective. They obviously are living that and breathing that business, so they will always potentially look at experience to drive decisions. So what didn't work before won't work now, or what worked before should work, and they're very frustrated when it doesn't happen that way. So bringing an external person in to take a helicopter view of it and actually sometimes drag people away from those preconceived notions of what should happen and why it isn't is already enough to start creating the change in mindset required for the solutions to start to emerge. I like using coaching and mentoring and sometimes just being a sounding board to question. I'm the what if type approach, which I love, is you know, well, what if you did it differently? How about this? And they will obviously go back to their past mindset, rear view mirror sort of looking, and well, it won't work because we've tried this last time, and that's not what we're about. So it's all really but pushing the right buttons and getting people to think differently about the solutions that may emerge. I think that conversations are critical. I think that there needs to be a level of self-awareness with the individual to actually understand that they're stuck. Often there's a lot of blame. It's someone else's fault. It's the market's fault. It's the senior team's fault. It's our shareholders who force us to make decisions. And helping people realize that that is just an emotional attachment to a situation and that they have to get over it or get around it. And sometimes it's more prescriptive. It may be actually saying, look, let's follow a process. Let's go through strategy making. Let's have a day away from the office and build a framework. And sometimes that sort of is enough for people to have something to hold on to and then carry it forward. Because, you know, conversations can be abstract. When you start putting things into boxes, then sometimes it becomes clearer.
And that gives the sort of can reignite their fire and make them more motivated because they've broken down the problem and you can address it, say, with exercises, with conversation. And
yes.
Just leading from behind, so to speak.
Exactly. It's really about whatever works. Ultimately, you just want to unlock that person so that they can find their own solutions. I don't know about their business. I don't know how to run their business. It's not my job to. My job is to help people sort their own heads in a business sense to refocus their original efforts and energies and dreams of what they wanted to achieve when they first started the business.
And what if... There you go. What if that, you know, they may have set up at the business 5 years ago and now the market has changed. The markets may no longer be there. Is it breaking that news to them, or is it aiding them to pivot the business into a new direction so that they, you know, realign the goals. The goals might have to all change slightly, and then you can guide them towards these new goals. Because if you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got.
Yes.
So if they can, if you can sort of change the business slightly to make it more modern, maybe it now needs to be smartphone enabled or or whatever. Your audience is now different. Can you help with that kind of organization as well?
But always in simple terms, going back to the roots of why. So I won't necessarily go into finding whether smartphones would work versus, you know, whatever, tablets. But I will question the reason why they are stuck and really go back into why they're there. What gives them fulfillment? What was the point of starting the business? And once you can backtrack past that block, and then all of a sudden you start to realize there are other paths and you start to turn left or right without being stuck into the, but this is what we do, this is what we're supposed to be doing. If you go back to the past and start again, how would you do it differently? And they go, well, yeah, I could go left. So you're basically pushing them back so that they can't stick themselves.
And is this an exercise, or these exercises something that you do with the whole team, obviously depending on the size of the company, or is it just with the management team, executive team?
It starts with leadership. So usually that's where I start. Having said that, I've worked with sales teams, so it's really specific about creating a sales mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, the same old story of prices and markets and shrinkage and all that, getting them unstuck to actually look at other things like value rather than euros. So you can work with specific teams. I think, and within individuals within, you've got key stakeholders that may be on the board who are blockers. And therefore working with them on a one-to-one also helps.
So just before we wrap up, can you give us a motivational quote that as we're getting out of our cars and going to work today, we can keep in our heads just to face our mundane tasks or to face our difficult challenge that we have to face today?
Look, for me, it's always been about making a difference. It's having some sort of impact. Now, if that impact is something small that's going to happen on the day, you know, being useful to a colleague or helping an employee, or something more major, making a strategic decision which will take the business in a new direction. It doesn't matter, as long as you are making a difference. And if you add a little bit every day, then the long-term benefit is huge.
Excellent. Well, thank you to this week's guest, Nathan Faruja of Ultimate Performance. Next week, I'll be talking to JP Barthé of Go Beyond about how to finance your business through the startup phase and through any difficult times. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Entrepreneur Clinic with me, Monique Chambers. The programme is aired every Wednesday on Campus FM at 9:30 a.m. and repeated on Thursdays at 1:30 p.m. Join us again next week to hear more about your journey in starting up a new business or launching a new product.